sir?
Yes. My name is John Paul Ramirez.
Okay, Mr. John Paul Ramirez. Okay, he's going to conduct his hearing. Okay. Honorable Mr. Leo will serve as a lead, so just hold on, sir, and he'll be right with you, sir. So just hold on to the floor.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, would you state your full name and AEC number for the record, please?
For the record, my full name is John Paul Ramirez. AEC number 148087.
Thank you, sir. You appeared before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning in reference to the community supervision revocation. I'm going to introduce the board members that conduct your hearing at this time. To my very far right is the Honorable Louis Canomas. To his left is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. My name is David Neal. I'll be the hearing lead. Also in the room today, we have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he will also represent the parole office today. So prior to this hearing, sir, you received a notification form advising you of the hearing. You remember that form?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you have notified your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a license attorney at your own expense. Do you have an attorney, or do you represent yourself today?
I'm representing myself, sir.
Okay, at this time, I'm going to swear to you, Mr. Westby, in. So you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you out, or do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
I do. Your hearing will be conducted in two phases today, sir. Phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And if they've been violated, we'll have phase two, which will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So at this time, I am going to read the one allegation that's on the warrant, and after I'm done, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Allegation number one is a violation of Area 1 Commissioner Supervision number 5 as demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaulting behavior on or about June 29, 2018 at Camino de la Tierra Grande. Is that true or false, sir?
True, sir.
Okay. Based on the admissions of Mr. Ramirez, I'm going to find that he was convicted of violating term condition under supervision and that he may have lapsed or about to lapse in the criminal ways for company.
Second.
Agree.
Motion for myself, second by Mr. Canomas, and leave that out the right. Okay, so we're going to be in phase two of that, but before we leave, Mr. Westby is going to give us some background information. So just stay there on the phone, and I'll be back with you in a couple of minutes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Westby.
On August 2nd, 2017, Mr. Ramirez was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested July 2nd, 2018 by ABC staff for felony charges. He was back in DOC custody July 2nd, 2018 with a projected community supervision ending of January 31st, 2019, 0 abstain days. Current conviction, 2010, armed robbery, 9 years, 3 months. Prior convictions, 1999, escape, second degree, 1.5 years. 2001, theft, 2.5 years. 2001, narcotic drug violation, 1 year. 2001, drug paraphernalia, 1 year. 2004, narcotic drug violation, 4 years. This is its fourth term in DOC, CUIR score 3-3, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 3. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2000, GIS release, revoked by the BOEC. Arrested on a tech violation, revoked by the BOEC. 2007, GIS release completion, 8 months. His disciplinary violations are significant and lengthy, with violence and conspiracy noted. Other arrests, 1997, threatening and intimidating, California. Disposition unknown. 1999, possession, sale, narcotics, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. All their arrests since then, which were numerous drug-related charges, were dismissed or not filed. This attorney Wisco is a G5B6. There are still the charges received from Senior Professor Erickson, dated August 14th, 2018, regarding charges for the allegation for domestic violence that are still open pending in Pima County Court. There's currently a failure to appear warrant for his arrest.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Ramirez, going over a summary of case supervision. So, the scene that we need to either approve for placement with your wife, Melissa, in Tucson?
Yes, sir.
Okay. They bring in and apparently they had a cell phone at the time. So then, you stay there the entire time you're out?
Yes, sir.
Very good.
I may not be able to talk, so I'm just letting you speak and answer your questions, and when it's my turn to speak, then I'll let
you have an opportunity. Okay, you have an opportunity to explain things. Okay?
Yes, sir. I was just brief.
Okay. So, then the programming, you have been enrolled in CAP for programming by
It was on my own, on my own building.
Okay, you were enrolled in career criminal classes. And then you referred to the ITH program, but you failed to complete that program. What happened to ITH?
That's the thing. I went into ITH, that's where it all kind of started. I went into the ITH program. The ITH program was at the Tucson Toyota office, the old SAPRAC, and it's a 90-day program. I was there for 1.5 years. I was doing everything that I possibly could, good, everything, no problems. Until one morning, I was 45 minutes late. I woke up 45 minutes late to UA. I got up and I went and I told the officer, I woke up late, I'm going to UA. The sergeant said, it's too late, it's a minute. So I ended up seeing the deputy warden and I told the deputy warden, Mr. Brad Smith, what's going to happen to me? I later on produced at 2 o'clock on shift change and it came out to me with force. What's going to happen to me? He told me, Mr. Ramirez, he said, John, you've been here for about a month now. You've never given me problems. There'll be a slap on the wrist, no big deal, because I'm going out on vacation. I'm leaving on vacation, it was a Wednesday, I won't be here till next week, so I can't be here to speak on you. But just don't worry about it, it shouldn't be nothing. Well, the next day, which was Thursday, I seen my counselor, I told her about it. She said, oh yeah, as long as the UA is clean, you have nothing to worry about, don't worry about it. So then, they had a staffing meeting that day, and when they had the staffing meeting that day, apparently they sanctioned me, and they neglected to tell me of my sanctions. I was unaware of it, where they told everybody else. Now, Friday, my counselor didn't come in, so we knew it was the weekend, and it was my grocery drop day and visit day, which was Father's Day as well. And my wife was denied the visit and denied my groceries, and I didn't even know. So I didn't make a big deal. I was just like, I'm not supposed to tell me because I already knew that I was late 45 minutes from producing. But I later on produced a couple hours later and came out clean, of course. Now, on Monday, I talked to my counselor, and on Monday,
2 weeks non-earning status, which is 2 weeks no visits, no groceries, and 2 weeks of MEP classes on top of all the programming that I was doing already. And I said, more programming? And she goes, well, this is the thing. This is it right here. This is what was my mistake. Is my counselor at that program told me, well, you can jump on the MPE class and just wait to talk to Debbie Warren when he gets back, because from what you told me, it looks like he's more like on your side and understands the situation and he'll reverse the call. So I said, okay. And I listened to her, and I went with the 2 weeks of non-earning status and waited. And then when he came back on Wednesday, I couldn't get into his office to speak with him because he was so busy until the following Tuesday. And then when I found out the whole news, and he was like, well, when's your 2 weeks up? I said, this Thursday. He goes, that's already over. He goes, we're not a Saturday meeting on Thursday, and we'll figure it out from there. And I'm like, okay. So on Thursday, he asked me, he said, at the meeting, why didn't you go to MPE class? And I looked at my counselor, and I was right there, and she didn't speak up. So I said, well, to be honest, I thought you were
okay, sir.
Oh, so I didn't go.
Sir?
Yes.
Sir, okay. So it boils down to, like, in one sentence, that you either have
a dozen class.
Well, you missed the classes, but you discussed it with the PO. Okay, Mr. Westby has some more information for us.
Yes, I didn't see this information in the warrants, but there is promo notes here from this PO and this counselor. It states here, on June 18th, 2018, Defender Ramirez asked to speak to PO Harmon this afternoon. Harmon is busy. I spoke to Ramirez to see what he wanted to read. He insisted he had an issue he needed to speak to someone about. He's not in agreement with having to disturb MOT and chat all over again because he said he already made it through step four. I looked at notes and wrote a mess regarding his MOT CAP program. He was discharged on May 11th, 2018 for missing 9 out of 19 sessions. I advised that he was discharged over a month ago. It should be put in step away from the beginning. That's what he's being directed to do. Counselor Sharon, the client was given 2 weeks sanction on June 14th for missing UA. He was given 2 weeks MEP and 2 weeks non-earning status. Since that time, he's attempted to have the sanction modified and removed, speaking both to S.W. Smith and Mrs. Sherrill on numerous occasions. In treatment group on 6/27/18, he announced he can't wait to have a cold beer. He continues to minimize his substance abuse and behavior. He had been discharged from YTH program for lack of progress, failure to engage in programming, and repeated infractions of the rules. He was staffed on June 29th by Counselor Simarusti. I'm told he was being discharged from ITH program due to his repeated infractions and failure to engage with the program. He was told he would meet with parole to discuss his options. The offender left the facility without consent, and then he was subsequently arrested after that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Westby. Okay, Mr. Ramirez, I'm going to move on to a different subject from that. When you were arrested, there was Pima County Sheriff's Department responded to your residence, and your wife said you had spit on her and you hit her in the face approximately 5 times, and then the deputy said he had throat swelling, and that's what his justification for arresting you was. But he also said that he smelled the heavy odor of alcohol on your breath, that you had very slurred speech. So were you drinking at that time, sir?
I did drink, sir.
Very simple answer. Were you drinking alcohol at the time?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And then it also indicates in several places here that you had a lot of missed UAs and that you self-admitted to methamphetamine and that there was a task related with methamphetamine. So do you still have ongoing drug problems, sir?
Of course. So I've been clean for since my last use, which was about maybe about a week before I went into the ITH program. I don't know the dates. I believe May.
All right. So you quit back in May. You quit using meth back in May.
I did use for about a period about 1 to 2 weeks at that time.
Okay. Up until that time, did you have a problem, an addiction to meth, or?
I think you say yeah.
Okay. So you've been clean since sometime in May. Okay, that's pretty good. So I'm going to see if any of my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
Any questions?
Okay, so we're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will be going into discussion to make a determination in a couple of minutes. Before we do that, however, we'd like to give you an opportunity to give us a final statement, tell us anything else you think might be relevant to our decision. But we do ask that you don't repeat all the information that we've already discussed. Okay,
yes, sir.
All right, so now's your opportunity.
Thank you. I would just like to let you three gentlemen know that I do my best to try and do the right things at that ITH program. When I was discharged, I took that opportunity. I didn't know what was going to happen to me because now I'm in trouble for the first time. I'm seriously in trouble. I was put in this ITH program and now they're discharging me. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to feel. I thought that I was going to go back into custody like I am now. So I took that opportunity to spend the weekend to go home to my family. I left the Cornwall as soon as they served me discharge papers. And I left confused, not knowing what to do. I had to have family support. When I got home, my wife was mad because I left the program. She didn't understand that I was getting discharged. All she wanted me to do was go back. I couldn't get through to her. Now, I went for a walk, and that's when I decided, you know what, I'm going to bear. I'm going, they're going to send me back. Now, I'm not going to run. I'm going to report back in my Monday. This is that bad. I only wanted to spend the weekend with my family. So I had me a couple of 24 hours canceled here, and that's it because I've been drinking so long. And then when I went back home to talk to my wife, we jumped in the vehicle. She told me to come home. She told me to get in the car. We drove down the street. We were not at our residence. I don't know where that came from. We were at Camino Rivera and Orangeville, which is the intersection. And she was telling me, I'm taking you back to the parole program. I said, they discharged me. I want to be in home with my family. I thought at that moment I was a sloppy drunk. I was a sloppy drunk at that time. And I thought she didn't care, and I was emotional. And I was like, and I started, I don't know if you guys can see me, but I started slapping her arm like this, saying, "We don't care, we don't care." And I was starting to cry, and I was emotional. And then when she went out of town with her shoulder, that's when I hit on top of her forehead. That's where it's coming from. I don't know anything about 5 times. I can't remember. All my mom wanted me to do was go back into the program, but she didn't want me to return back to prison. She called the Central K people, called the police, and that's where the police came. Now, police do not think it's wrong. Hold on, sir. This is very new information I'm bringing to the board. Please do not get me wrong when I say this. I am very thankful that I did leave that program, and I when I signed that discharge papers, for the simple fact to spend time with my family. Being that weekend, because of one simple fact is that I had spent time with my 9-month-old granddaughter, and on July 7th, I came back into custody. On July 6th, 4 days after my custody, my 9-month-old granddaughter passed away. And she is passed away, and I have just got a letter from my wife yesterday. Tell me how much she needs me at home. Tell me right here. She says, I wish she was, it's 2 a.m. and I should be sleeping, but I don't really sleep anymore because my life has been turned upside down. And I'm not sure if I can get through this. I've had weird days, but my days go into nights, and my nights go into days that I don't even know anymore. I miss her so much that my heart breaks. I don't know what to do with myself at times, especially at night time, because that is the hardest. I'm sorry you didn't have to bring it home, but it's okay because I am. I'm sorry, did you drop the script? Did you drop the script? But basically, we're bringing my mom alone. And my wife, I'm thinking to my wife, has her family. Our family to bring her. I mentally think my wife, I mentally think my wife, my granddaughter is still around. And when I go home, I will probably grieve. My wife needs me right now, and I need my wife. I admit my wrongs. I am 100% in the wrong. It was all resolved around being that program. Because I was 25 minutes afraid on waking up at 8 in the morning. I woke up at 8:45. And then I said, your own choices and decisions.
Okay, you've already covered all that.
Okay.
Okay.
And one last thing. If you go, not this. When you guys decide to release me, if you can, I should say, I ask, if you guys don't want me to go home, send me to my halfway house. I've never been to my halfway house before. I only have 5 months left on parole. I didn't get in trouble with parole until 5.5 months later. You guys already see there's proof right here showing that I have successfully was successful for the first 5.5 months before I got my first journey away. I was out for exactly 11 months. I was unemployed for 1.5 months. I worked 8 months straight, 7 months at a hotel, and 1.5 months at a car wash. I was looking for work for a month and a half, and then I was in the ITS program for a month and a half. I just ask you guys to give me one last second chance. I mean, this is what this hearing is for. Now, because I knew I had my chance, I should have done things right. I should have done things out right with not even the grandest federal sin of the mistakes. I'm only human. This board is meant to decide to give a person a second chance of life. So I do thank you guys, and I thank you for bailing me out, and I apologize if I was more repetitive. But I am sorry, I am remorseful, and I hope that I can have a second chance. I guarantee I will succeed on parole for the next 5 months.
All right, thank you, sir. So the board's going to go into this discussion and look.
I know I'm going to decide first.
So the board will be going into discussion to make a determination in a minute. So we ask you to stay on the phone, remain silent, and we'll get back to you when you're done. But before we go into discussion, Mr. Rusky, you have some information for us?
Yes, I just wanted to state for the record that per DOC policy, Mr. Ramirez cannot reside with or have any contact with his wife because she is a victim of domestic violence, so residing with her or seeing her, he's released is not an option.
Thank you, sir. Okay, the board is going to go into discussion now. We're not in discussion. Mr. Romero seems to have some issues with following the rules and temper, and while he was out, he was out for quite a good length of time. He was working and doing good things, but he was also doing drugs, missing a lot of UAs, which makes one wonder if he was doing more drugs than he admitted to. And bringing alcohol and alcohol consumption resulted in at least some kind of a domestic violence situation with his wife. Now, how serious it really was, I don't know, but it did occur. And even if it was a very simple argument, there was enough evidence for the police to arrest him that night. I, at this time, has only got about 5 months left, like he said, but I don't seem to get a candidate to return to community supervision at this time. If there are other fellow ladies, like Wayne Thomas. Okay, so right now, the information is number 2018W1886. All the information from Department of Corrections and Mr. Ramirez's testimony, I move to revoke community supervision of Mr. Ramirez. Has he been doing violating terms and conditions of supervision and have asked or was about to land with the criminal ways or company?
Second. Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded by Dr. Wright, moved by Mr. Ramirez. So Mr. Ramirez, the board is voting to revoke your committee supervision at this time. You are scheduled to be released on or around January 31st, 2019. In the meantime, we would hope that you can get some programming in there to help you get a little bit better work on your anger management and your drugs. Make yourself a good plan of what you're going to get out. Depending on how the domestic violence situation turns out, you might possibly not be allowed to have any contact with your wife. So you might look into that, see if you can get that situation resolved before you're released. So this will end your hearing, sir. We do wish you the best of luck. And would you put the CO3 back on the phone?
Yes, thank you, guys. You guys have a good day.